Hello, beloved church family. So glad that you're with us today online. Thanks again for joining us. It's always a pleasure to be with you every Sunday. If you joined us last week, you'll remember that Pastor Ted challenged us with the message of God as the vine dresser, as found in John chapter 15. I hope that you've been able to reflect on how God may be pruning you during this season and what area or areas of your life God has been exposing and really asking you to leave behind. I know this past week I've been reflecting a lot on my lack of patience, my anger, especially towards the kids. But all of this is really, all of this pruning and this exposing is really meant so that Christ can be formed in us and that we can experience a deeper and further transformation and growth in the Lord. You know, last month I heard a devotional message from John Stumble, the president of our U.S. Christian and Missionary Alliance family, and he shared from the book of Jeremiah. And as I was listening to his quick, short devotional, I was actually quite encouraged, and I wanted to use some of our time today, or all of our time today, actually, to go over a part of Jeremiah chapter 29. Now, you may be familiar with parts of this chapter, especially the more popular verses that start from verse 11 and onwards, where it says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." You know, oftentimes these few verses have actually been taken out of context and plastered all over the place, on plaques, on posters, on Facebook posts. And yes, these are definitely encouraging and uplifting verses, but I really want to encourage you to really understand the background and context of the entire passage. Now, you'll remember that actually back in the days of Jeremiah, the Israelites had not listened to Jeremiah's prophecies and warnings for decades, for years. They had actually been living under the domination of the Babylonian Empire. And God uses King Nebuchadnezzar to bring judgment and exile upon his beloved Jewish people. You know, they had been taken all the way from Jerusalem to Babylon, south of today's current Baghdad. And you can only imagine what it would be like to live under the dominion of your enemies and then be forced by those enemies to leave your country, to leave your home, and to go into this foreign land, a strange land, to be in exile for who knows how long. Earlier in Jeremiah 28, a false prophet by the name of Hananiah arises, and he actually proclaims that the exile was not going to be for too long. He actually said 2 years, and then the people would be back home to Jerusalem. But as we read further, Hananiah's message undoubtedly sounded really wonderful and appealing to the people of Israel, but it actually was a lie, and it resulted in this false prophet's death at the end of the chapter. Chapter 29 begins with Jeremiah writing a letter to those in exile, essentially saying that they will be there in Babylon for not 2 years, as Hananiah had predicted in the previous chapter, but actually for 70 years, 74 years before the people would return back to Jerusalem. Now, when understood in context, we discover that the words of Jeremiah 29:11 were actually spoken to a people in the midst of hardship and suffering, people who were likely desiring an immediate rescue like the one Hananiah, the false prophet, had lied about. But actually, God's response was not to provide immediate escape from that difficult situation. Rather, God's promise was that he had a plan to still be with his people in the midst of captivity, in the midst of exile, in the midst of their current situation. And as I recall from Dr. Stumble's devotional last month, he was actually asking a very apt question. He said, "What do you do when you're not where you want to be and you find out that you're going to be there a lot longer than you expected?" Now, even as we go through our current situation today with the COVID-19 pandemic, sheltering in place may for some of us seem like we're in exile, or we're banished to a land that we're not familiar with. and being at home 24/7, not able to go out and see friends, not able to resume our everyday activities. Things are not the same as it was 10 weeks ago. How can we still thrive in the midst of all of this that we're going through? And I want to take a closer look at Jeremiah chapter 29, and you know, really beginning with the letter that he's writing to the exiles. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 29, and if you don't, you can follow along on the screen as we read from verses 4 to 14. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. Verse 9, they are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Verse 12. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. Let's all pray together. God, we thank you for this day that we can come and open your word together. Father, we ask, Holy Spirit, that you come and you speak to us. Speak to our hearts, open our hearts and ears, open our eyes to receive all that you want us to receive from your word today. God, encourage us in our homes, encourage us wherever we are, and we ask all this in your name. Amen. Just a few thoughts. First, as we look at verses 5 through 6, Jeremiah is actually encouraging the people that are in exile. In verse 5, build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons. You know, and it goes on and on. Basically, go about with your daily life. You know, plant your gardens. It's going to be a while. 70 years is not something that you can sneeze about. And you might as well basically buckle in, settle down, and go about your life. Build your homes, get married, plant your gardens, have kids. Pretty much be there, not just be there, but engage, be present, and live your life to how God wants you to live your life. You know, when I think of our current COVID-19 pandemic situation, now entering our 10th week of sheltering in place in Santa Clara County, you know, at first, this whole thing kind of came about abruptly. You know, it was seemingly like a reasonable amount of time that the county health department had said, but then things quickly changed. You know, first it was from March 17th to about April 17th, so about a month, right? But then it was extended very fast to the beginning of May, and then quickly now to the end of May. You know, schools were initially canceled and then, you know, basically taken online. But then quickly we found out that they would be online for the rest of the academic year. Work from home, you know, all the companies were saying, you know, stay at home, work from home. But now some companies are saying work from home to the end of the year. And some companies are even saying you can work from home for as long as you want. You know, and obviously some are starting to open up, those that are deemed essential. But we've heard from some of our friends that, you know, some companies won't open up their buildings until at least after the Labor Day week holiday. And you know, this week we've heard that the California State University system for fall semester, nearly all of the instruction will be virtual. It will all be going online. And then this past week in our elementary school district, they basically said that while we don't know what the fall semester is gonna look like, distance learning will be a part of that curriculum for the next school year. You know, and then also recently, LA County has just talked about extending their shelter in place until the end of July. Basically, we might be in this for a while. Things may not change that quickly, even though a lot of us, our government, you know, every business owner is wanting things to change very fast and basically to resume life as normal. But brothers and sisters, we may be in this for the long haul. We may have had initial tendency to think, at least I did, that, you know, oh, you know, this is soon going to be over, then I'll get on with my life, you know, I'll just take it easy, enjoy the time that I have at home, and then get back to the normal pace of life. Or some of us may think that, well, right now my life is on hold, and it's on pause, and I'll just wait and let time pass, because it's going to pass soon, until it's time to unpause. But we really don't know how long this pause is going to be, because life still continues despite the current situation. You know, it's really easy to make excuses. It's really easy to wait on things or to settle down or to even be lazy or to be unmotivated. You know, when I read these verses from Jeremiah chapter 29, when he is saying, build houses and settle down and marry and plant gardens and everything, this point really hit home to me personally in the last couple of weeks. You know, some of you may know that Pastor David and I, we're enrolled in seminary classes, and we take classes once a month up in Woodland. But that set of classes has ended, and we've completed that segment in our studies. And a couple of weeks ago, it dawned on me that basically I needed to register for a new set of classes, you know, either up in Reading or online. And basically, I did that 2 weeks ago, but I think what was unexpected to me was basically the fact that this was actually an intense class that I was registering for. Not to say that the classes in Woodland weren't intense, but let's just put it this way. The classes in Woodland, turning in your work and including all your assignments seem to be perhaps optional. And for those of you who know me very well, you know that I don't like to study, you know I don't like to read, you know I'm not a very good student, and I've shared that with you in the past. But when I registered for this new class, I was hit with shock, I was hit with fear, actually, and basically, I started to study. I started to read, I started to, you know, to basically 2 weeks ago, start reading everything and, you know, ordering the books, and to everyone's surprise, you know, especially Cheryl, and even to Enoch, he was actually saying, you're studying? You know, in his very cute way. But what I'm saying is, the Lord really pressed upon me that I cannot wait any longer, that I need to buckle down, I need to do what God has called me to do. And for me, part of that was really engaging in this online class. Another example that Cheryl and I have done is, in the last 2 weeks, there was one part of our house. We had moved into this house about 2 years ago. In our study, some of you may have seen, if you were on Zoom for our after service fellowship times or at table talk, our study area in the back corner, it was still fairly cluttered, fairly messy. The last couple of weeks, we've just been like purging, cleaning out, and, you know, organizing. And I felt like, you know, I'm not going to make any more excuses. It's been 2 years. There have been boxes underneath the desk, bills that I hadn't even opened, and I just started purging and tossing. And I just really felt like God was saying, enough excuses. You need to live your life. You shouldn't wait anymore. You need to build your house. You need to settle down. You need to not wait until this thing, this pandemic, is over before doing what I have called you to do. And one of the questions that I want to pose to you today is, have there been things that you have been putting off because you're waiting for this whole pandemic to be over? Things that you've wanted to do but maybe haven't because you're afraid, or maybe too lazy, or maybe unmotivated. I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, to not be passive anymore, to not just say, well, I'll get to it when I can go out. I'll get to it when I can do this or that. You know, this whole thing may last a while. We really don't know how long it's going to last. Don't let the time pass by or waste it. Build houses, settle down, plant gardens, have kids. You know, go about your everyday life as God has called you to do. Whatever the Lord is placing on your heart right now, don't wait any longer. Take a step of faith. Embrace the unknown that we are in. Settle down and continue forward. Be present with where God has called you to be and stop making excuses. The second thing that I want to point out is in verse 7. Jeremiah is encouraging the people. He says, also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. You know, Jeremiah told the Jews to actually pray for the city, pray where they were exiled to, that their enemies who led them into captivity, that that city, the city of Babylon, would actually have peace and prosper. Even though they were in exile, even though they didn't want to be there, the fact that they were there for 70 years, Jeremiah is saying, you need to ask the Lord to seek the peace and prosperity of that city. Similarly, in our situation, whatever situation God has placed you in, you know, maybe you're stuck at home with your lovely kids and your family. Maybe you're working at home. Maybe you are feeling like this work is even worse now that I'm at home because there's no boundaries. There's no stop. Work is continuing to be demanding. How can you seek for the Lord's peace and blessing on your current situation? Are you actively seeking for God's peace and prosperity in your family? Are you asking the peace of God to descend when there's chaos in the home, when the little ones are screaming, crying, shouting, when they're fighting, when they're disrupting your Zoom call? What about your neighborhood? Are you asking the Lord to give peace to your neighborhood? As you take walks throughout your neighborhood, are you able to bless your neighbors? Are you able to show love and compassion? Are you able to lend a helping hand for those that are elderly that might be in your vicinity? How are you seeking God's peace in your current situation? Please don't be disgruntled. A lot of times I'm a little disgruntled about my current situation because I'm at home with these little ones while Cheryl gets to be at work. And we may be stuck. I feel stuck a lot, right? But how can I seek the Lord's peace in my current situation? How can I say, peace be upon my three kids, that they would learn to love the Lord, that I would know how to equip them in the ways of the Lord? You know, wherever we find ourselves, whatever context, whatever difficult situation that you may feel that you are in, how can you ask the Lord to prosper that? How can you ask the Lord to improve your current situation? How can we invite the Lord into our current context to say, God, would you come and prosper it? Would you come and send your peace? Make it better so that God, your name would be glorified. Perhaps it's the fruit of the Spirit that we need to ask the Lord to help us display in that situation. Surely for me, it's a fruit of the Spirit. It's patience. It's love for my kids, right? You know, what is it that you can ask the Lord to bring into your current city while you are in exile, in your current situation? You know, what's interesting is part of verse 7 and the last part, or actually the middle part, it says, also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Who's the I referring to? Who has carried them into exile? It's the Lord himself. The Lord actually allowed the Israelites to be in exile. Just as the Lord allowed them to be in exile for 70 years, the Lord is actually allowing us to go through this time together. The Lord is actually in control still. The Lord is the one who has orchestrated, according to his infinite wisdom, this pandemic, believe it or not. He knows what he is doing. He is allowing you and me to go through this time for his greater purpose, for his greater cause. We don't know for how long, but we trust that he is in control and that he is in all of this, despite the chaos, despite the uncertainty. God has a plan for all of this. And part of his plan is for you and I to seek his peace and prosperity in our current situation. I want to encourage you to really pray to the Lord, as it says in verse 7. Because if it prospers, you too will prosper. How is the Lord going to prosper you in your current situation? I'm not talking about money necessarily, okay? Don't get me wrong. I'm talking about how can the Lord prosper you in your situation? For me, how can the Lord prosper me in my patience, right, in dealing with the kids? How can God prosper you in your workplace, and basically you doing well, and you having favor with your colleagues, and you getting your tasks accomplished, even though you may be under a tremendous amount of stress? Pray to the Lord for his peace and his prospering, so that the current situation that we are in will glorify his name. And then the third thing I want to share is some of our favorite verses from verses 11 to 14. For I know the plans I have for you. Some of us can recite this, right? Declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. From verses 11 through 13. You know, for many, these are favorite verses of promise and of reassurance, of hope. And we know that we have hope because of Jesus. We know that we have hope because God is in control. We know that we have a future because of this promise, because of Jesus. But really the key to all of this hope and these plans that God has for us is found in verses 12 and 13, where it says, call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. During these days, brothers and sisters, have we humbled ourselves to continue to call on the Lord? Not to say that we haven't been calling on him in the past, but even now, even more than we need to, than ever before, have we humbled ourselves to call on him, to come before him, to pray to him? Because he says, he promises that he will listen to us. For all you parents out there that are struggling, that are like, you know, at your wit's end because of the kids, have you keep calling on him? God says he will give you strength, he will give you sustenance. To all those that are on the verge of, you know, the end of whatever, take courage, call on him. God says that he will listen to you. Verse 13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Seeking the Lord Almighty, seeking the deliverer, seeking the one, even though he has called us into this time, this is the one, same one who will deliver us just like he delivered the Israelites. Especially now, during this time of uncertainty, how are we seeking the Lord? A lot of us have more time in our day. A lot of us don't have to commute. A lot of us don't have to be involved with outdoor activities to drive kids to school activities or whatever. Are we stewarding the extra time that God has for us well in seeking him? I know some of the parents that are home, they're like, I don't have time. I have to be with the kids 24/7. I get it. I'm there with you. But how are we able to still seek the Lord? Does it mean taking turns with the other parent? Hey, just give me half hour. You know, let's trade off. I need to pray. I need to read my Bible. I need to spend time with the Lord for sustenance. How are we able to seek him during this time? You know, the best thing about this passage is in verse 13, where God promises, he says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. The fact that we can actually find God, the fact that we can actually call to God and the fact that God answers us and hears us is amazing. That's his promise. He says he will be found by us if we seek him. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you today to really make it a point to set aside some time to seek him, to seek for his, not only his presence, not only his peace, not only his prosperity for whatever you are in your current situation, but to seek him so that you can find him, that God would fill your every longing, every need, every desire, that God's presence would fill you with his promises, that you would be full of the Lord's joy and sustenance for the things that he has called you to. May these words from Jeremiah 29 bring you encouragement, bring you motivation, bring you joy to wake up tomorrow morning, to get out there, to do whatever God has called you. Three things. Be all there. Don't make any more excuses. Build your homes. Plant your gardens. Do the things that God has called you to do. Don't wait until this thing gets over, because we don't know how long it's going to be. Second thing, make the situation better. Wherever God has called you, seek the peace and prosperity of your current situation. Pray to the Lord, ask him to do it. Not you doing it, but God doing it. Let God do the seemingly impossible. And then this last thing, seeking him, actually finding him, knowing that the Lord is listening and will continue to listen to our cries if we humble ourselves and if we seek him together. Will you join me in prayer as we close? God, we come to you today, and Lord, we know that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. God, we know that you are the same God who took the Israelites and led them into captivity, into exile many years ago. Father, we know that you are the same one who has taken us, Lord, through this situation, through this pandemic. And Father, we praise you, God, because you are a faithful God. We praise you, God, because of your promises. We praise you, God, because, God, today you have reminded us to be all there, to be in. God, we ask, Lord, that you would reveal to us if we have made any excuses, if we have put things off, if we have basically said, God, I don't want to do this because I want to wait until things get better. Lord, if you have called us to a certain thing, we ask, Lord, that you would give us the courage, give us the motivation to say yes to you, to say, despite whatever unknown, I am going to take a step of faith and continue on to what God has called me to do. Father, we ask, Lord, that you would continue to help us to be praying in this situation. Lord, that you would help us to be praying for our current peace and situation, peace into the situation, that you would prosper our current situation, no matter how difficult, no matter how challenging. Father, we ask that we would seek you in our situation. Lord, we know that, Lord, it says that you will be found if we seek you. So Jesus, we thank you that we can have the privilege, the opportunity to seek you. So Father, we pray that even today and in this week, that we would be able to seek you in a new way, that we would have, that we would make more time for you, that God, you would help us, Lord, to engage with what you are doing. Help us, Lord, to seek further your heart, Lord, to seek you and your kingdom. Father, we ask, God, that you would continue to speak to us now. Holy Spirit, would you come and minister to us? Lord, you know the exact situation that we are in our families, in our homes, in our neighborhoods. And we ask God that you would be present, that you would engage, Lord, with our situation, and Lord, that your name would be glorified. So Jesus, we thank you for the time today that we have to worship you. We thank you, Lord, and we pray all these in your name. Amen.